tuberculosis. We know it's going to continue finding new diseases because we're not helping our mom stay clean to keep providing for us.
Shawno says Mother Earth will never give up, but everyone needs to pay attention to her needs. For National Native News, I'm Chuck Quernbach.
Lily Gladstone received outstanding performance by a female actor in a leading role at the Screen Actors Guild Awards over the weekend. She was honored for her role as Molly Burkhart in Killers of the Flower Moon. The Native actor made history last month with her Golden Globe win for her role in the film. Up next is the Oscars in March. Gladstone is nominated for Best Actress. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Monday, February 26, 2024. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news stories and tips at 971-245-2158. Our production team for tonight's newscast includes Lisa Loving, Grace Benson, Sam Bowman, and Jasmine. The producer and engineer is Althea Billings. Special thanks to Eric Tegadoff, Antonia Gonzalez, Edwin J. Vieira, Suzanne Potter, and Catherine Carley. The director of Evening News is the steadfast Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/evening news. You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Michelle Coppola. All of our KBOO programs, including the Evening News, are supported by our members. If you'd like to become a member and support our programming, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Stay tuned now for KBOO News in Depth.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
I'm Lisa Loving. Our guests are Eli Spivak and Shannon Wilson from Electrify PDX. They're helping people convert their homes away from natural gas to all electric utilities. Thanks for being here.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
What is Electrify PDX, Shannon?
So we are a nonprofit certification program. We help homeowners and renters transition their homes from, as you said, natural gas and also old electric resistance appliances and systems to really efficient electric systems for their homes. The way that we do that is that we have yard signs that people can sign up and get a yard sign to put out in front of their home to let their neighbors and community know what they're doing. And then as they change out their systems over time, they can put badges on the signs on their sign. And then when it's completely transitioned to all electric with renewable energy, they can get a nice certification plaque to put outside their home.
That's neat. You're prompting the neighbors to talk to each other.
Exactly. It's about creating public awareness so that we can kind of speed that transition.
Eli, was this your idea?
With my partner, Noel, we hatched this idea because my background is with accessory dwelling units, which are invisible from the street, and people are already converting their homes to efficient electric, but you can't tell they're doing it. So this brings visibility to it. And also, people like doing things that are in community. They like doing things that are fun. So we really try and spice up our activities with fun in-person opportunities to help people go through this process, which isn't always easy working with contractors, and we try and make it as easy as we can and connect people with resources to do it.
Eli, why is it important? Why is this program important now?
The time is right for this. We have so many people are devastated by all the climate issues. There's so many things to be sad about, but one thing we can do is make our houses not generate any carbon greenhouse gases. And we can do it now. There's been times where you had to wait for it. I'm a builder also. I've been waiting for new products to come available. But right now, you can get a heat pump water heater 3 times more efficient than a resistance electric one or a gas one. You can get a heat pump. You get cooling in the summertime, which people desperately want right now and need it for health. You can get an induction range, which cooks the pants off, gas or resistance electric.
Okay.
And And then where does electricity come from? Well, if you just buy it from your power utility, then maybe almost half of it is from fossil fuels. But you don't have to do that. You can get green power programs, or you can do community solar, reduce your electric bill, and you've got 100% clean energy. So by doing those things, you can bring your carbon impact of your house down to zero. And people are already doing it. People have the wherewithal to do it a lot of times. And for those folks who are low income, who don't have the resources, Portland passed the Portland Clean Energy Fund. So there's huge amounts of resources to help people get free systems who couldn't afford to pay for them. So it's really, the time is now. And despite the timing, there's a lot of pushback. People still love burning things in their homes. So we're trying to change the narrative to say, this is something to be excited about, and we can take action now.
Shannon, can you talk about how the program works exactly? You can be a renter or a homeowner.
Exactly, yeah. So about 47% of Portlanders are renters, so we want to make sure that they're included in our program. As I mentioned, people sign up and get a yard sign. We also have window decals, and so it's really about kind of joining this movement, making your neighbors and family and friends aware of what you're doing, and being really intentional about it. And so we offer a monthly newsletter. We have an online list of contractors who are electrification friendly. We also hold events. So we host neighborhood association presentations. We also hold an annual electrification fair called Electrify Portland. We had our last one in October, and we'll have another one next September. And it's really just about connecting people with the resources that they need and helping them kind of step through the process with resources, advice, and again, those connections with the contractors that are going to be reliable and friendly.
Because this is a complicated zone, especially now. It's difficult sometimes to get contractors to come and work on things. And these new programs like the tax credit, we're going to talk about that in a second, and some of these other things, how do people plug in with PSEF? It's not always obvious for individual people. So how do people participate with you? Where do they start?
Oftentimes, people encounter us at our community presentations. We suggest that people visit our website, which is electrifypdx.org, where it's really easy to sign up for our program. If your home is already 100% electric and powered by renewable energy, you can just go straight to the certification stage as well.
Wow, I want to talk about that a little bit later too. But I wanted to also ask you, who's coming in to participate with it? Is it a bunch of rich people or what? Like, what is your sense?
You know, it really spans the gamut. There are definitely affluent Portlanders who've got the resources and they kind of know they ought to do this, and we're helping them find a contractor who's going to help them do it or figure out which tax credits they can use. At the same time, we've also got a woman, mobile home park in Portland. She got her home all electric. She put a heat pump into it and dropped her electric utility bills from $300 to $100 a month. There's also a woman in North Portland, and she's worked with the Community Energy Project and has electrified. Her home was already electric, but she has a heat pump water heater, solar PV, and a huge champion in that neighborhood. So it really spans the gamut. And we work with people of every age, every income level for sure. And our community presentations, I should say, we work with faith communities. We presented numbers of churches, real estate agents, city festivals, so we're getting people from wherever they're at. We're just trying to make it easy.
You're getting people face to face. That's interesting. You just mentioned the Community Energy Project. Can you talk a little bit about other, community projects that participate with you? Like, I mean, I think a lot of people listening don't realize what's out here because we don't see it reflected in the media very often. Talk about what's out there, Eli.
Yeah, one of the early things we did was work with PSEF with a mini grant to help create a one-stop shop, one place where people can learn about all the resources. Because for anyone who's under 100% of median income, and you're going to have to look at a website to figure out where you're at, there are opportunities with Verde to get a free heat pump. You know, with Community Energy Project to insulate your home, to get a counselor to help figure out what changes to make to your house, get a free heat pump water heater. There's many choices out there, and PSEF is doing another funding round right now. We're taking a break here from working on our own application. It's really critical with global warming to make sure that low income neighbors get to transition first. And Portland has raised the funds to do that. So we really want to make sure there's a place people can learn what's available to them. Sometimes it's based on different income levels, different geographic areas. We want to make those connections.
PSEF, Portland Clean Energy Community Benefits Fund. It's a little bit complicated. I want to follow up on that and say, Eli, talk about what is PSEF? Why is it important? What made it? I mean, I think you know that.
PSEF was really, we're a leader in the country on this. We should be proud. It's a tax on affluent residents, and it goes towards making sure that we have a climate justice program in Portland that has real money behind it, to make sure that folks who are the most impacted by heat waves get air conditioning. It makes sure that when we have our neighborhoods, we have shade equity. We don't have some neighborhoods that are boiling hot with no trees, and other neighborhoods that are cool and shaded. I highly recommend people checking out all the great things they're doing. As a professional, on the another hat that I wear, I'm building affordable homes that are net zero in the Concordia neighborhood, and that way people have not only cooling, comfort, and low utility bills. So it's a program Portland should be proud of, and they keep rolling out new programs. I can't keep track of all the great things that are happening with those funds.
PSEF is interesting too, because it's one of those places where many times I've heard communities of color say, we get institutional money, but it's never enough to move the needle. It's never enough to do anything concrete. PSEF is different. There's real money there. And we're also seeing people in city council say, no, this is too much money for the people. We need to put it someplace else. I'm not going to ask you about that unless you want.
Well, I will chime in. I mean, I think that it takes local capacity in the nonprofit sector. And when there hasn't been money to support nonprofit run programs, there hasn't always been the capacity isn't there. So now there's a huge amount of money and capacity is growing. And hopefully we'll be able to administer all these funds by nonprofits, but the nonprofits have a growth curve to go to.
Yeah. I'm Lisa Loving. Our guests are Eli Spivak and Shannon Wilson from Electrify PDX. They're helping people convert their homes away from natural gas to all electric utilities. And now I have to ask you my mom, Betty's question. My mom, Betty, she says you can't electrify everything because you need some fossil fuels to run the electrical utilities on some level. What's the response to that? I've heard that from other people,
too. It's a good question from your mom. Thanks for the question.
There's
a couple of different levels at this question. First of all, we absolutely should be going all electric in our homes first. Think of natural gas. There are uses for natural gas that are helpful in industrial situations, but it's like a champagne of fuels. We don't need to be using that to make our homes warm or cool. So there used to be times where we used gas to light our homes, right? Gas lighting. And we didn't think about doing that anymore. So I guess in the residential sector, there's no question we should be going all electric. In terms of where the electricity comes from, that's a question for our utilities. And in Oregon, we are requiring our utilities to clean up their electric supply so it's renewable and pretty fast. So that's, do you have the stat on that?
It's like 2040 is the deadline for Oregon.
Right, yeah. To get a clean power. So that means if you just buy regular electricity from your utility, it's going to be cleaning up automatically. And you don't have to wait either, because you can sign up for community solar now and get clean energy immediately.
Community solar, if your property makes that possible. Go ahead.
Actually, community solar is great for everyone who has an electric bill. So Oregon, in their wisdom, realized that a lot of people don't own their home, they're renters. Their roof might not face the right direction or be shaded. So they created a community solar. They actually subsidize it so that if you sign up for that, you get electricity from a locally developed electric PV farm.
Wow.
And your bill goes down by like 5%. And if you're low income, your bill goes down by like 30%. You have to go through the community energy project to sign up. It can be an individual's home. It can be a business. It could be a condo association. Anyone's got an electric bill can sign up. And it's incredibly, it's surprising how well that program got information when it was being founded. But now that it's available, a lot of people don't know about it. So as soon as I heard about it, I signed up every electric bill I got.
Can I just follow up on what you said? For people who are interested in these issues, where do they get information? Is there something that you read that you find out about these things? Is there a central source?
Yeah. So if you go to our website, electrifypdx.org, we have a blog that has articles on all of these different topics, which has really helpful information, pretty succinctly organized with links to, like, for instance, for community solar, we'd recommend that you check out Arcadia.com, which is one of the project managers that's working in the area to sign people up for community solar. But we have information on all of these topics on our blog.
Cool.
And we also have a website. We have a monthly newsletter, which people get, which is really down to earth, like how to switch out your range, what renters can do to electrify if they don't control everything. So that's also a resource.
I have to follow this one up to your website. It talks a lot about the cost of fuel in the home. And we've just seen that the electrical prices have, they went up, did they go up 17%? In Oregon, the Public Utility Commission agreed on that.
Yeah, I think
that.
Both
talk about the cost. Just talk
PGE
about the cost.
PGE and Pacific Power both just went up around 15%. And then Northwest Natural is also raising their rates this year. So all the utility rates are fluctuating and rising.
I guess energy costs never go down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and gas rates have gone up faster and will continue to go up faster. So Northwest Natural rates went up 42% in 18 months recently. And in order to meet the state's climate goals, they're going to keep going higher because it's harder for them to clean up their supply. But it's true, electric costs are going up. And that's why heat pumps are so great, because heat pumps use literally one-third the energy, whether it's electricity or gas, or better than the resistance electric or than gas appliances. So heat pumps are just, that's what we've been waiting on those to be available. Now they're great for heating water with incredible incentives to get heat pump water heaters. And they're great for heating and cooling homes. And people really want the cooling, even if they didn't want to it 10 years ago.
Because the climate has changed in the past 10 years. Oh, wow. Eli, can you talk about some of the other projects you're known for? The co-housing communities, all of them. Like, spill it on the table right now. What are all the cool things that you do around housing and also alternative electricity, alternative energy, alternative all kinds of things, actually? You're a very busy guy.
Sometimes it feels like that. I'm also a parent of two kids, which is even more fun. But I love living in community, and I always have since living in group houses. And since I did affordable housing development to learn the ropes, I've been developing mixed income co-housing communities of different formats. I'm a developer with ADD. I try something out, and a typical developer would just do a lot of the times the same thing, and that would bore me. So I just do something different, and I'm always experimenting, and it's kind of fun that way. And I don't make nearly as much as another developer might, but I get by. And the communities of homes that I build are really for people who want to live their values, and they want to live in Portland. They want to be able to walk to things. They want to have a green home. A relatively small home, and be near other people who they might know already or they might meet through their neighbors. I've loved living in situations like that, especially raising a family. It's great having proxy parents around because mine are not around. And it's really wonderful that it's sort of like it's living the way that a kibbutz might be or some other parts of the world.
A kibbutz, yeah.
But we don't have many options for that in America. And in Portland, luckily, we have a wide variety of the community living situations, and I've developed some of them. Others have done more of them. And then on the land use side, I've been on the Planning Commission for a while in Portland, and we've really changed the rules here, and this is rolled out around the country now to legalize less expensive housing choices, like accessory dwelling units or a little duplex, so that we have a wider variety of home choices in any neighborhood.
I was just going to ask you, why is it important to have these different kinds of housing? I mean, it's not just that the housing is different. The whole idea behind it is different. Yeah. What does it do?
People, housing left to developers with single-family zoning ends up being like a monocrop of large homes, all on their own lots, separated from each other. And we are not a monocrop of people. Some people really like that kind of housing. That's fine. But we have people with all sorts of different family setups, size of household, stages of life, and we ought to have a housing variety that matches the variety of people we have. And people also want to be near each other. They don't want to be all spread out all the time. People get lonely, and that's a pandemic. I also work a lot with AARP nationally to help provide less expensive housing choices in existing neighborhoods people know and love. And that really resonates. So legalizing accessory dwelling units, although it happened early on the West Coast, it's happening all over the country now for that reason.
You mentioned AARP, the American Association of Retired People, persons, AARP.
Although they won't spell it out for you anymore.
They changed it, but I just, for people listening and they just want to keep up with the conversation. As I'm talking with you, I'm just thinking about what you're saying. You're not even just creating housing. You're sort of creating communities of the future. Like, I wanted to ask you, where will Portland be in 20 years? But I don't want to ask you that yet. I want to say, are you consciously doing that? You're shaping the community.
I don't think that far ahead. I think that the communities, housing lasts a long time. And I think that a community that gets off to a good start will be a great community for a long time, long after I'm involved with it. I have a friend, Kevin Cavanaugh, who does some beautiful buildings in Portland. And he says it really nicely that this stuff's going to outlast him. And that's the same thing that's going to happen for the housing that I help create. I don't build very much housing compared to other infill builders. I try and experiment, and if something I do works well, then I'm happy for people to copy and run with it. But I've never tried to grow scale. But I do like to fiddle around with things that people maybe haven't tried yet.
I want to ask you this, Eli. What is your vision for the city of Portland? You must have one.
Boy, there's a lot of people who are expressing visions now. I think that I love Portland and I'm an optimist about Portland, especially with our change of government. And I think this is a city where people want to take care of one another. And that's really a treasure in Portland. So there is a willingness to look after folks who haven't had it so easy. I think that our neighborhoods are awesome. So although downtown has struggled, it's still so many, you know, wonderful little walkable spots we have in this city, sprinkled all over the place. It's dispersed maybe now more than it used to be, but the dispersed nature of it is flourishing. So I'm really optimistic that even though our downtown has been on national media too much, people are still loving it in the neighborhoods. And that's also a good testament for good walkable housing, and neighborhoods are great for having low carbon lifestyles. So even though people aren't leading with greenhouse gases all the time, they're living it here, which is, I think, is great. Which is great.
We're talking with Eli Spivak and Shannon Wilson of Electrify PDX. Eli, you just brought up the change in Portland government. You're a smart guy. What impact do you think that's going to have on the neighborhoods and our quality of life in the future?
I think that. Well, one thing is it provides a whole new opportunity for engagement with the city. And I was floored by how many people applied to serve on the different transition committees. It was huge. And great people on, so as this transition's happening, it's bringing out a lot of great energy from the city, which we've always had a good civic engagement theme here in Portland. So that's really being lifted up by this transition. I think that it's going to be a messy couple years coming up. But I'm really excited for it. I think that there will be, since we have districts now, and I love the form of government where like the top three with a preference voting, it gets a lot of engagement. And I think that there will be a lot of attention to all corners of the city, maybe more so than we've had with the current government.
Which is interesting because I've been thinking a lot lately about what I see when I look around the city and the people I meet, people who are working on social change. And I don't feel that I see that reflected in the media. I don't want to sit here and complain about the media. I am the media, right? But do you ever have the sense that people in the city of Portland maybe don't, we see what's happening around us, but we don't relate to, what am I trying to say? It's like you had just mentioned that there's people have different, they see it differently. And so people in the neighborhoods, we know each other and we see each other, but we don't know the other places in downtown. Like, how are the ways that Portland's kind of divided? That's a hard question. Do you see Portland as being kind of divided?
I'm not sure I know how to answer that one. I think that there is a downer attitude sometimes. My father-in-law sends me emails from the Midwest about when every time a restaurant closes in Portland, it's like, well, come on, things are opening up all left and right. They're great opportunities.
That's what I mean.
But there is a narrative that is out there that Portland has, you know, the blushes off the rose or whatever the expression is, and I think that we are contending with some bigger city issues now. We're not such a small town anymore, but I think that we still have the fundamentals. We have the great folks. It's a diverse community, and lots of people want to get engaged. We have huge numbers of, citizen advocates in Portland. They know what they're doing, and I think I feel really hopeful.
The more I interview people that are doing things in the community, the more hopeful I feel too. And then I pick up the Willy Week or the Oregonian, see, is Portland over? And that's what I'm talking about. It's a disconnect between different realities or different points of view. But I feel like Portland's really affected by politicians politicianing. And, you know, just like everywhere, I guess, and you're from D.C., you know, people will say, elected officials are going to say what they want to say to get people to vote for them. But it hurts sometimes. Like, I've been here for 30 years. I'm still a newcomer, right? Anyway, and I just see so much good stuff that nobody ever sees reflected back. And now I want to shift gears a little bit and say to Shannon, when you're working with people in this project, you're going to fairs and you've got the table and you're doing outreach and you're setting people up. What do they say to you? Like, what are people going through? What's important to them?
Well, I think a lot of the people who we end up speaking to have some interest in electrification and climate, and they're very excited about the idea that they can have an impact in their home. And there's a lot of questions. Some people are hesitant. Some people are worried about giving up certain luxuries. And so we just assure them that electrification is far from a compromise. It's actually just full of benefits from as far as comfort and the efficiency, the lower utility bills. So I think we just do a lot to encourage people to take action when they're sort of uncertain, but really looking for some way to have impact. And one thing we constantly reinforce is that electrifying your home and powering it with clean energy is like pretty much one of the biggest climate actions that you can take. And that ends up really resonating with people and spurring them to take action.
Shannon, where do you want to see Electrify PDX go in the coming years? You guys are a baby. You're 1 year old. Mm-hmm. You're 1 year old. Where do you want to go with this?
Well, we're really looking to grow our program. We'd love to be able to give more technical assistance to homeowners and renters and landlords and who are looking to electrify so that we can answer their questions and help them really take those steps. We want to do a lot more outreach with the entire community and especially with the low-income community to just connect people with programs and let everyone know that, I mean, when we did the Electrification Fair in October, I think everyone felt so excited to see so many other people excited about this. It sort of brought the whole movement out into the light. And so we want to do that a lot more.
If you live in Portland and you want to learn how to recycle, you call the Metro Recycling Hotline. If you want to learn how to naturescape your yard, you can sign up for the Backyard Habitat Program, which is a terrific program. If you want to learn how to electrify your home, which has much bigger carbon benefits than those other items, then you're out of luck a little bit.
Right?
So we really want to be able to be resourced to have a staff position. They just did this in Missoula, Montana. They have a city-county partnership where they have someone who's there to help people go through that process, provide individualized technical support. So that's one thing we would love to be able to do. Community Energy Project already provides that for low-income residents. So we want to steer people that direction. But for people who are more affluent, who tend to have larger homes and bigger carbon impacts, we want to be able to help them. So that's one thing we want to grow into this coming year.
Cool. Community Energy Project is amazing. They've been around for a few minutes, and they're expanding too. And I think they hired a lobbyist last year, which is fascinating. So I know you told me you had a party for your first anniversary. Talk about it. Like, so this is your 1 year time, and you had a celebration. What did you do? What happened?
Yeah, so we got volunteers and supporters together. We met at the Oakshire Beer Hall in Cully, and we just had a really fun celebration. There was cake, and one of the exercises we did was just to invite people to share ideas for how we could do more outreach and expand our program. And it was just a really fun night.
Mm-hmm. And we're ready to have more parties. If people mm-hmm. are disconnecting their house from gas, we're happy to bring a birthday cake out and celebrate that. When we have our next Electrify Portland event, we will once again have bouncy castles, you know, free ice cream sandwiches, all sorts of great stuff as we had last time. And we really try and make it fun because that's what pulls people out. And I think the wind should be at our back and we're ready to accelerate the transition. It's happening anyway, but it's got to happen as fast as we can.
It's one of those things too. I was talking with somebody earlier today. We pay our taxes. We expect government to do certain things, but there are certain things that government doesn't do as well as people do. And that's a complicated thing to say. It's a complicated policy, but I think it's actually true. And Shannon, you mentioned volunteers. Like, for people listening right now, they want to get involved. What do volunteers do for you? Do you need more?
We were a pretty lean organization, but when we do throw big events, it's really helpful to have volunteers. One thing we just really want to encourage people to do is sign up for our program and then talk about electrification with their friends and family and loved ones and coworkers. So that's one of the biggest kind of volunteer activities that someone can do for us probably right now.
Look at what you're doing. You're saying that your engagement approach is really based on word of mouth. You're literally weaving people together. When people come to that event, it's like they know who the others are. That's mm-hmm. That's fascinating.
And that's also definitely the most effective way to change minds, is to hear people that you trust talking about it, rather than, you know, hearing a message come from on high or a public service announcement. It's going to be someone talking about getting a heat pump and it working really well.
The other thing people can do is we're always looking for groups to present with. So we present in neighborhood associations, faith communities, Earth Day events, all sorts of groups, employee groups, these employees. If you are part of a group that would love to have a visit from us, let us know.
Now I'm going to ask that question. Eli, where will PDX be? Where will our city be in 20 years, do you think? Pull out your crystal ball, do it.
Well, we'll be awfully close to being a combustion-free city, which will be exciting because less air pollution, less noise, healthier homes, healthier streets. So that's one thing in this energy world I really look forward to. You think back in years, you know, cities past where you had all kinds of soot and pollution from coal burning and homes and gas lights, and we have all the technology to be past that right now, but it's going to take a couple decades to get there. So that's one thing.
What do you think, Shannon? What would you like to see?
Oh, I would love to see a car-free city, or a city that's just not so car-centric with a lot less traffic. I think that would be a part of that beautiful transition away from carbon and away from fossil fuels, would just be to make our communities a lot more livable and walkable.
I want a pony. I want a pony community. Anyway, I'm joking. I want to thank you both for being here. Our guests, Eli Spivak and Shannon Wilson from Electrify PDX. They're helping people convert their homes away from natural gas to all electric utilities. Find out more online at electrifypdx.org.